So good evening, everyone, and welcome to this Wednesday night service. We are going to continue to speak from the epistle of John, 1 John, and we have already covered chapter 1, and we are about halfway through chapter 2. So today we're going to deal with chapters 12, 13 and 14. So 1 John 12, 13, sorry, 12 to 14. Okay, 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Lord, we pray once again that you bless these thoughts in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Now, when we began preaching from this book, perhaps we have gotten the impression that there are many warnings here, and seemingly the Apostle John was dissatisfied with the people there. However, he was not. He is basically just encouraging them to come back to a foundation that has already been laid. And we know that the Apostle Paul laid a foundation. Many of his epistles are speaking about the believer's positional truth. And he uses the term in Christ some 200 times or something, which speaks of the believer's position. We are in Christ. That has nothing to do with our behavior. It has nothing to do with our spiritual level or anything. It's just something that is given to us the moment of salvation, or at the moment of salvation. However, John, he's calling the believers, or the believer, back to this foundation, and his focus is not so much on the positional truth, but it's really on abiding in. Already in John 15, in the Gospel of John, he speaks about abiding in him. And we have talked earlier about having a relationship. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ the moment we believe. Now, that relationship might not be a good one, because I might receive him and then walk away from him. I'm still in him, but I'm not abiding in him. I have a relationship, but I have no fellowship. Mm-hmm. But if I do have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then something will happen. I will become a mature Christian. And that's the title for our message tonight, On to Maturity, meaning that we should continue. Now, many people, Christians that is, they have this thought or idea that salvation is the end, meaning that, okay, now I'm saved, you know, I'm done. But really, salvation is the starting point. That's when the life begins. That's when we are called into this fellowship. And in this fellowship, in this life that John is writing about all the time, that's where we're going to become mature Christians. If God only wanted to fill heaven with saints, he will just take us home right away. Why are we staying in this world? Why is he keeping us down here? So that we can be, of course, so that we can be testimonies, so that we can be examples, so that we can manifest him on earth. I think that makes sense to us if we think about it. Otherwise, they say, okay, you're saved. You're out of here. Everyone would have a personal rapture. Now, some people have suggested, And it's not a bad interpretation. I'm just going to mention it briefly because I take another stand here. But some people believe that he's not really addressing three categories of believers, different levels of maturity, the little children, the young men, and the fathers. But they believe that he's actually addressing all believers. And these three things are basically just different levels or stages of this thing. Now, they suggest that children speaks about that they have experienced salvation, they have their sins forgiven, and then that the next one is not children, but the next one is fathers. That's the order, actually, that he writes. And fathers, it's like they have known him who is from the beginning, meaning that they have had fellowship with the eternal God. And finally, he addresses the young men, which says that they have learned something about spiritual warfare, because it says that they have overcome the wicked one. So it's power to overcome, meaning that all believers can identify with these three categories. And I'm not saying that it's wrong, but it's just an interesting approach. Personally, I believe that it speaks about three different levels of maturity. And not all people have become fathers. Some are young men, and some are children. Now, this has nothing to do with physical age. This has nothing to do with gender, meaning that a young woman who is mature in Christ can be a father. An old man who has been saved for 30, 40 years can be a babe in Christ, spiritually speaking. So it's not about physical age, it's not about gender. Now, we know that the Bible says that in John 7, verses 37 to 39, that from the believer, rivers of life will flow out. Now, that speaks about the Holy Spirit. That's an anticipation, meaning that it's something that we are to look forward to. It's something nice. It's something that we should experience. And in Ephesians 5:18, it says that be ye filled with the Spirit. And it's a command. It's not some fantasy. It's not some ideal. It's actually a command. It's possible. It should be desirable. And it should really be the way of life for every Christian. In 1 Corinthians 2:15, it says that he who is spiritual, and it speaks about the spiritual person being the right kind of Christian. You know, he talks about carnal Christians, and there is a comparison there. And, of course, it's better to be spiritual than to be carnal. So why am I saying all these things? Because the Apostle John is saying that there is a life to discover. There is a life to live. There is something to achieve in the Christian life. Salvation, positional truth, is not the end. It's just the beginning. When you have that foundation, it's time to move on. It's time to learn. It's time to go on. And if you remember, in the old days, Pastor Stevens, he used to teach, and he used the term theatric action, which actually means that God wants to borrow our humanity in order to manifest his divinity on earth. That's basically the definition for theatric action. So, now, when a person does not grow up, we think it's something strange, right? If a little child remains a child forever, that's strange. Or even if they grow up physically, but they behave like a little child, we also think that's strange. But we don't think it's very strange when a Christian or a person becomes a believer, and then 10 years after that, they are just the same. 20 years later, 30 years later, nothing has changed. And That's normal. No, no, it's not. It's not. I mean, it's possible because salvation is for through grace. So if I have truly believed in Jesus Christ, yes, it's not something that has to be there in order to prove my salvation in that sense. But we should consider it a bit strange because, you know, this is what the Apostle John is saying, that if you don't grow, you're living in darkness. And I don't want you to live in darkness. I want you to live in the light. I want you to walk in the light and experience this fellowship. If you don't grow, you live in broken fellowship, not unbroken fellowship. And so he has been dealing with that quite a bit in this book. But now he comes to these like three different categories, and let's take a look at all three of them. The first one is little children. And in verse 12, he says, I write to you, little children. The word for children is technion. A technion in the Greek means a born one. It doesn't say anything about the level of maturity. It only says he was born into the family. And this is the only way that we can become part of God's family. That is through birth, the new birth. Nicodemus in John 3, he thought that he could become a part of the family of God in some other way. But Jesus said to him, no, it's not through keeping the law, it's not through going through some rituals or whatever it is, it's through the new birth. And we don't become part of the family of God through good behavior. It's through the new birth. And these children, they have been born again, technion. And then it says, your sins, you know that your sins are forgiven. That's the first basic truth that we learn, isn't it? Your sins have been forgiven. I mean, before I know anything about the rapture being before or after in the middle of the tribulation, I know that my sins have been forgiven. That's the very, very, like a foundational truth. And then in verse 13, he's kind of going back and forth between these categories. So in verse 13, we see for the second time the term children. And it says here, the third part of verse 13. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. Okay, now he's using the term little children again, but here it's not the word technion, which means a born one, but it's actually the word paideon. And paideon is actually the word, Greek word, from which we get the English word pedagogue, someone who is an expert in like raising children or knowing how to do that or just knowing how to instruct somebody, we could put it that way. And that's the whole idea here. They are still little children. They know that their sins have been forgiven, but they are also, now they have reached enough maturity that they understand that they need to be in a place where they can be taught. Otherwise, they're not going to grow. And children are pretty much, I mean, if you think about it, naturally speaking, it's amazing. People have children for some time. You're probably not going to be able to sleep. You're not going to have any free time. You know, they need constant attention. They're expensive. They are not always very kind in their response, etc., etc. So naturally speaking, why do people want to have kids? Naturally speaking, but there is that love there, and also, they have known the Father. meaning that these children, they know the Father. Mm-hmm. It's like they love their parents enough to say that, okay, now I understand that I am a child. I need to be instructed. I don't have what it takes to live this life. I need to learn it from them. So it's like Paideon, it's different from Technion, because Technion is like that person is ignorant of everything, but here they have a little bit of an understanding that I need to come under a teacher, meaning the Father, or meaning parents in application. In Colossians 1:28, it says that we want to present every man perfect. Every man perfect. So again, that's Paul writing. So he has the same desire that John has, that those who he ministers to, that he would actually be able to bring them to maturity. That's his goal. And I mean, we don't have to tell anyone to grow, right? I mean, if you have a child and say, hey, you know what? You need to grow. Physically speaking, it's going to happen automatically, providing that they eat, sleep, drink too. And if they do that, they will grow. You don't have to be conscious of that. And it's the same thing with a flower or a plant. I mean, you take that seed and you put it in the dirt, you water it a little bit, you put it in that window so that it gets some light, and then you talk to it a little bit because then it needs oxygen, I heard. So if you do that, then you don't have to sit around there and look and watch it grow. I mean, it's going to grow because the right circumstances have been provided, and therefore it's going to grow. So it's the same thing with a Christian. If we are placed in an environment where we have what we need, we are going to grow. But the next category he's dealing with is actually fathers. But I'm going to talk about young men first, because that's the chronological order in the growth process. So even though the next one mentioned is the fathers, I just go to young men, and then we come to the fathers later. It's also mentioned twice in this portion. And it's one is in verse 13 and one is in verse 14. So in verse 13 it says, I write to you halfway through there. Halfway through the verse. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Okay, overcome the wicked one. They have learned something about spiritual maturity. They have not only recognized the need to grow and placing themselves under someone who can help them or cause them to grow, now they also know something about spiritual warfare, that there are things going on, and they have learned how to win victory in different circumstances. And the word for overcome is nikaio in the Greek, which actually the shoes, Nike or Nike, or I don't know how it's pronounced, these little tennis shoes, they have taken the word from there because it means to conquer in a sense, or to subdue. And maturity comes from spending time with the Lord, having fellowship with Him. There are no shortcuts. No shortcuts. We think so. You know, we think that we can become spiritually mature when we go to some meeting where some big evangelist is, and he or she will lay their hands on you, and then, okay, not something happened. I'm not saying that God can work through those circumstances too. I'm not saying that. I'm not mocking that. I mean, I know God is sovereign and he works. But I'm just saying that it doesn't happen automatically. Spirituality is actually something that has to be learned. It's something I have to watch, I have to observe, others who are mature. It comes from this unbroken fellowship with the Lord. Because if I have that, it's going to happen. I will learn the character and nature of God. I will understand how to approach Him, even in those times when I go through difficulties and so on. And I will become an overcomer. I will know how to subdue. And in verse 14, we see again the same phrase. And it says here that you're strong because the Word of God abides in you. And here is the, again, the young men. And actually, I didn't mention that, but the word for young men is neoniskos. And neoniskos means someone under 40 years old. And it's interesting that, if you remember, it says about Jesus Christ, when he was talking to the Pharisees, they said, but you are not even 40. They were referring to this thing that you are not even 40. I mean, we don't even talk to people that are under 40. They have no maturity, they have no understanding, they have nothing, you know. And that was the thought. And Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, don't let them despise you for your youthfulness. And most scholars believe that he was 42, 43. But the old ladies in the church thought that he was a kid. But that's how it is. But he's actually saying young men are adult people, but they're kind of under 40. So in application, in physical life, in real life, it's someone who is, like, you know, physically strong and all that, but have limited experience, but far more than the child, far more than the teenager, and so on. And here it says that the Word of God abides in you. And really, it's the word here in the Greek is meno. And meno means to stay in an assigned place with an expectation. To stay in an assigned place with an expectation. I love that, because it's not just staying in a place with no expectation. It's the expectation that makes you makes you an overcomer. That's what makes you strong. You know, the Word of God is real. It's not just you know, some tradition or something that you're dealing with. The Word of God is real, and I believe it's personal. I believe it's something for me. I believe that there's something there for me every time in the church when it's preached, or when I read it, or when I fellowship around it. I have an expectation, and I remain in that place. I remain in that place where I have this expectation. So, yes, it is possible to live outside of fellowship and remain a baby. But John is saying, I hope that's not the case. I hope that you're actually moving on from being little children to being young men. From knowing and understanding, hopefully, that you need to be under instruction to come to a place where you can actually overcome, where you can actually have victory, where you can actually walk victoriously. And then thirdly, there is a category here, and the way John deals with it is actually that he talks about the fathers first, or second rather. But in verses 13 and 14, it's mentioned twice, and in verse 13, I write to you fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning. Now, the word for know here, or known, is ginosko. And it means to know. Nothing spectacular. But it means to know in the sense of absolutely. You know, I mean, I know. It's not like a wavering. I know. It's like I have been convinced that this is true. And it says here that you have known him that is from the beginning. You have known him who is from the beginning. And the little phrase there, who is not in the original. So you could read it like, because you have known him from the beginning. And if you read the verse that way, you have known him from the beginning, it could be that you have known him for a long time, meaning you have been a believer for a long time, so now you have experience. That's what makes you a father. But more likely, it refers to God's eternal existence. So, in other words, he's saying here that you have known him who is from the beginning, the eternal one. You have been in fellowship with him for a long time, and it has made you mature. And maturity, like we said earlier, requires intimate fellowship with God. It doesn't happen automatically, and it doesn't happen overnight. In Hebrews 5, chapter 5, and also beginning of chapter 6, end of 5, beginning of 6, he's saying to the author of the letter there, he's saying to the Hebrews, or the Hebrew Christians there that the letter is addressed to, he's saying that you still need to drink milk. But he said, by now, and some of them had been believers for 30 years in this case, by now you should be teachers. And somebody says, no, I'm not a teacher because that's a gift, and I don't have that gift. But wait a minute, he's not talking about public teachers, like a pastor teacher or a Bible college teacher. He's talking about the ability to teach anyone. As a husband teaching his wife and his family, as a mother teaching the children, as a Christian at my workplace, if people have questions. Sometimes, I'm sorry, don't take this wrong, but I mean, sometimes I'm just amazed how slow we are to learn. I say something, or somebody, you know, preach, and then I realize people have no clue. But wait a minute, we've been talking about this so many times. We're slow to learn, unfortunately. And we should be teachers by now. I should be able to answer people if they have questions. Like it says in, I believe it's 1 Peter 3:15, or it's in one of the letters, epistles of Peter, where it says actually that, you know, we should be ready to give an answer to anyone who is asking for the hope that we have, or the hope that lives in us, meaning Jesus Christ himself. We should be. So to study the Word of God is not something. We had one person he was considering Bible school, and we were talking to him, and somehow I believe that many people have this concept that if I go to Bible school, I'm going to be a pastor or missionary or a seminary professor. But that's not the case. We believe that we all go to Bible school, right? I mean, many of us are like, okay, so you graduated from Bible school. So what are you now? Are you a pastor? Are they going to give you a church now? Or you know, no, not really. I'm just going back to my old work, you know, and we'll see what God is going to do. I mean, for us, it's like the Bible school and the Word of God, it's not just something for the clergy, you know, if you know what I mean, and the layman is like, nah, we don't need to know anything. That's what the official church used to say. It's like, you know, regular people should not even read the Bible because they don't understand it. You know, let the priest interpret it. It's like we have the total, like the opposite of that philosophy. We say we should all know it. We should all know it, and we should know it well. You know, so the Christian life is not just going to heaven. Please understand that. It's to be a mature believer on earth. And that's why we are kept here as representatives and ambassadors. Amen. Believe me, you know, if it wasn't so, God would take us home right away. And some of us said, yeah, please. No, but, but, you know, like, you know, some days we think that way, don't we? But the Bible speaks of bearing fruit all the time. In Matthew 7, there are several illustrations, but one is like the sowing of the seed. And it says some produced like a crop or harvest, you know, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Three different categories. But they were producing fruit, and that's desirable. Do we have to? No. I mean, it's possible to remain a little child. It's possible. It's possible to grow a little bit and become a young man, but which is good. But it's even better to grow even more and become a father. Because a father is someone, spiritually speaking now, because it doesn't have to do with age or gender, but a father is someone who is able to reproduce himself, to lead people to Christ, to teach people. And you don't have to have a certain spiritual gift for that. I mean, it could be anyone. And that's the third category that we have. The Bible speaks about three different types of food. Milk, that's for babies. We know that. Bread is kind of basic food. I mean, I don't know, bread is everywhere. I mean, every window when you walk on, it's like there's a bakery. I mean, any country you go in, go to, people talk about bread. I mean, it's like bread, it's just so basic, you know, like our daily bread. Even in prisons, you know, it's like bread and water. used to be. And now you have a 5-course meal. No, but milk for the babies, bread, the basic food, but then we have meat. And meat is hard to digest, but it makes you strong. That's why I'm so weak. No, but it's like, you know, it's hard to digest, and that's the digging in. You know, I mean, it's just like, oh, I don't understand that. Like, I'm not interested anymore. No, I mean, when I studied this, you know, I read Leviticus 23. I didn't say that much to me, you know, when I read it the first time. You have to dig into it, and then all of a sudden, now we're preaching 8 messages about it. You know, just a few verses, and it's there. It's the meat. It's hard to digest, but we have to have it in order to become strong. So we could say that the little children, they drink the milk. The young men, they eat the bread. But the fathers, they're meat eaters. they dig in, you know. They have a portion to serve others as well. It's not just for themselves. So how do we grow? Well, we said earlier, in closing here, that the circumstances need to be right. I need to have a local church. Many people today don't have a local church. I say, I have internet. Yeah, internet is great as a supplement or something to complement, rather, what I have in a local church, listening to messages and study and draw from. I need a pastor. I need someone who is teaching the Word of God to say, but I can read for myself. Absolutely, and you should. You should. But there is also that special or specially designed office spoken of in the Bible in Ephesians 4:11 about the pastor, who is a teacher, by the way, the pastor-teacher. That's why we use that term. It's the same. There are two offices mentioned, pastor and teacher, but there's no definite article in front of the teacher, which makes it, according to the Granville Sharp grammar rule, it makes it one office. So it's actually the pastor-teacher. It's not the pastor and the teacher. So the local church and the pastor-teacher. And we need to draw near and seek God. It doesn't happen automatically. I need to find the opportunities, and we have plenty. I mean, I think, honest to God, we live in a day and age that is totally unique. I'm so excited about just thinking about it. I don't know about tomorrow. We might all be in prison tomorrow. Maybe. I mean, even literally speaking. Maybe. But today, we have the most fantastic opportunity. We don't really suffer persecution. I mean, we might be ridiculed, but we are not really suffering persecution in this country at this time. And we have plenty of opportunities to study the Word of God, to go to meetings, to travel to conferences, to make this the highest priority, to know the Word of God. Because it says in closing, in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we want to do. That's why we go verse by verse through this Bible book, 1 John, and you know, we want to do it with other books too. But we want to find out what it says. And here we have been instructed today about becoming a mature Christian. And we fit in somewhere here. I mean, you know, we are either little children. I might have been a believer for 30 years, and I'm still a little child. John says it shouldn't be that way. You know, I mean, think about it. It shouldn't be that way. Some of us are young men in the sense that we have, I wish I was, but I some of us are young men in the sense that, you know, we are, we have learned to overcome. You know, we are bread eaters. You know, we know how to feed ourselves, but we can also become fathers. We can be meat eaters. We can be those who actually learn enough to have an overflow, and through that maturity, other people can come to us and receive a portion and be blessed. And that's what we want. We want to be fruit bearing. We want to be abide in Him, because when we abide, we don't have to think about bearing fruit. It's going to happen. You know what I mean? But if I don't abide, I'm going to remain a little child. So let's take John's advice. What he's calling us back to the basic truth that Paul taught. I mean, Paul taught positional truth, but he said also in Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy of your calling. And he moves from positional truth to experiential truth. So Paul taught that too, but John does it even more so, and he's just encouraged us. This is not a rebuke from John's part, even though he says that, I mean, pretty strong words here about walking in life and so on, but he does say, you know, with great compassion, that become mature. You have a relationship. You have been saved. You're part of the household of God. Now, abide in Him, have fellowship with Him, and it will eventually bring you to maturity. Amen?
Amen.
Hur många vill ha avokadosoppa? Räck upp en hand. En, två, tre. Hur många fler?
Nu kom det. Nu kom det. Titta, hur går det då?
Det är bra.